At the turn of the century, obituaries were more than mere announcements of death. They were richly woven narratives that captured the essence of a life. Each one holds a story, penned with the flourish and depth of the era, inviting us to explore the legacies and personal tales that shape the fabric of time. Join us for episode 2 as we delve into these captivating chronicles from a bygone era. The following obituary was taken from the Benton County Democrat, a local newspaper and publication from 1886 to 1927. Mrs. Pauline Burns, who was born in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, April 8, 1845, died in Benton County, Arkansas, December 2, 1888, aged 43 years, 7 months, and 26 days. She was a member of the Baptist Church. Nearly 10 years ago, her husband, Thomas K. Burns, died, leaving her with 3 little children, and about that time, that dread destroyer of human life fastened its withering hand upon her. And through all these years, widowed and afflicted, she has borne her trials with patience sublime in its very silence, never murmuring, never complaining, never repining, but always cheerful with words of love and deeds of kindness for all. In the growing town of Bentonville, the sudden passing of Professor W.T. Amos marked both a profound loss and the end of a promising chapter in the community's burgeoning educational landscape. A man of considerable intellect and ambition, Professor Amos had moved from Georgia to Bentonville with a vision that extended far beyond the borders of his previous life. Upon his arrival in Bentonville, Professor Amos quickly identified a need within the community, a need for higher learning and practical education that could propel the young town into a new era of prosperity and innovation. With relentless enthusiasm, he set about establishing a business college, a dream that materialized through sheer determination and charisma. The college opened its doors to a modest but eager group of students, igniting a flame of learning that promised to grow brighter with each passing year. Under his guidance, the college not only began to thrive, but also transformed into a chartered institution, a testament to its success and the town's faith in Professor Amos's leadership. As president, he oversaw this transformation with a proud, albeit humble, demeanor, often seen walking the halls of the institution or engaging in deep conversations with students and faculty alike. However, as the college reached new heights, Professor Amos faced personal challenges that remained largely invisible to those around him. Known to be a solitary figure despite his public role, he carried a burden only known as brain troubles that quietly eroded his health. His days, filled with administrative duties and educational advancements, were also marked by silent battles against an unrelenting foe. One fateful morning, as the final leaves of fall gave way to the coming winter, Professor Amos suffered a severe and ultimately fatal attack. It was a shock to the community, which had seen him as a pillar of strength and innovation. When the news of his condition reached the local Odd Fellows Lodge, the response was immediate and heartfelt, despite not knowing the specifics of his membership status, or even which lodge he belonged to back in Georgia. The Odd Fellows rallied to his side, determined to aid their brother in his time of need. As Professor Amos lay in a state between life and the beyond, the Odd Fellows administered to his needs, showing a dedication that transcended the lack of formal confirmation of his standing within the order. They were by his side during his last moments, offering comfort and companionship where they could, embodying the fraternal spirit that Professor Amos had himself valued so highly. In his death, the town of Bentonville mourned not just a leader and educator, but a visionary who had seen the potential in every student and every conversation. His property and financial assets, left behind in a place where he had no family, were a stark reminder of his solitude in this community he had come to serve. The school he founded continued to flourish, each new class a legacy of his commitment to education and progress. Professor Amos's influence remained a guiding force, inspiring future generations to pursue knowledge and community service. In Bentonville and Benton County, the story of Professor W.T. Amos was recounted with respect and a touch of melancholy, a tale of a man who came from afar, gave all he had to his adopted community, and left a mark that would endure long after his untimely departure. His journey from an ambitious educator to a cherished memory was a testament to the impact one individual could have on the many, shaping a future he himself would not see. but had helped to build. As the sun began its descent behind the sparse woodland that framed the western edge of the city, the ambiance at the Woods residence was one of casual contentment. This modest homestead, often a hub of youthful activity, was today hosting a reunion of sorts. George Arney and Frank Woods, childhood friends bound by a shared love for the great outdoors, had spent their day pursuing the game in the surrounding fields and forests. Their return to the Woods residence was marked not by the heft of their bounty, but by their light-hearted banter and laughter, a testament to a day well spent. The hunting itself was secondary to the companionship it fostered. These expeditions were cherished rituals, underscored by their easy camaraderie and mutual respect. The backyard of the homestead, cluttered with tools and makeshift benches, bore witness to many such gatherings. Today, it was strewn with the remnants of their day's adventure. Hunting gear, a couple of empty game bags, and the centerpiece of the afternoon's unfortunate turn, Frank's old but trusted shotgun. Both young men were known in their community, not just for their spirited nature, but also for their inherent understanding of each other's personalities and quirks. Frank, ever the tinkerer, had a penchant for fixing things, whether a squeaky door at home or the well-worn mechanics of his shotgun. George, with his more cautious demeanor, typically watched and learned, occasionally handing over a needed tool or piece of advice. As the shadows lengthened and the air cooled, this day of shooting and shared stories was supposed to ease into an evening of relaxation. Neither of the two young men could have anticipated how swiftly the atmosphere of warmth and familiarity would be shattered, turning an ordinary hunting trip into a pivotal moment that would forever alter the course of their lives. In the dwindling light of the evening, as the tranquility of the day began to settle over the Woods residence, an air of calm persisted, despite the underlying issues with Frank's shotgun. Throughout the day, the gun had proved problematic, its lock occasionally failing to fire, a frustration for any hunter, but particularly for Frank, who prided himself on maintaining his equipment. Resolute in fixing the malfunction, Frank decided that the end of their hunting day was as good a time as any to address the issue. The makeshift workbench became the scene of this ill-fated decision. Tools lay scattered across the surface, illuminated by the sporadic flicker of a lantern as the sun set completely. Frank, with a focus sharpened by years of handling and repairing similar mechanisms, set to work on the shotgun's lock. The gun, loaded and ostensibly safe as long as the lock did not engage, lay across the wooden table. George, standing nearby, was engaged in cleaning up the remnants of their day's activity, occasionally glancing over as Frank muttered under his breath while manipulating the stubborn lock. Unaware of the imminent danger, George's movements were relaxed, his guard lowered in the safety of his friend's presence. The critical moment came unexpectedly. Frank, feeling a surge of relief as he believed he had fixed his ailing weapon, tested the trigger. To his absolute horror, the shotgun, which had refused to respond throughout the day, fired with deadly precision at that moment. George, who had just stepped in front to pass Frank a tool, found himself directly in the line of fire. The blast was deafening in the quiet of the evening. The shot, intended never to be fired within the confines of the workbench, launched with lethal force, striking George in the leg just above the knee. The impact was catastrophic, severing the femoral artery, a critical vessel, and causing immediate and profuse bleeding. Frank's shock was palpable as he dropped the gun and rushed to his friend's side, his hands shaking as he tried to comprehend the gravity of the situation. His voice hoarse with panic, he called for help, his mind racing through the steps needed to try and stem the bleeding. Despite his efforts and the rapid response from other members of the household, the situation was dire. As they awaited the arrival of medical help from the city, the severity of George's condition became increasingly apparent. The golden hour, crucial in medical emergencies, was slipping away as quickly as George's lifeblood soaked into the earth of the backyard they had played in as children. The immediate aftermath of the shooting was a blur of frantic activity and numbing shock. As the last echoes of the gunshot faded into the evening air, the Woods homestead transformed from a place of nostalgic gatherings to a scene of urgent crisis. Frank, gripped by a profound sense of guilt and horror, worked alongside others to provide first aid while they waited for the physician to arrive from the city. The arrival of the doctor was met with a mix of relief and dread. Despite his swift efforts to control the bleeding and stabilize George, the reality was grim. The loss of blood was extensive, and the severance of the femoral artery had caused irreparable damage. George's condition deteriorated rapidly, and within an hour and a half of the accident, surrounded by his family and a solemn Frank, he breathed his last. The following morning, the community awoke to the tragic news. The incident was not just a personal catastrophe for the families involved, but a communal shock. George had been well-liked, his gentle demeanor and friendly smile a familiar comfort to many in the area. The local coroner conducted an inquest which concluded that George's death was a tragic accident. Frank Woods, whose hands had unintentionally fired the shot, was found blameless in the eyes of the law, but not in his own. The verdict did little to assuage his feelings of responsibility. The funeral, held the next day, saw a large gathering of community members who came to offer their condolences and support to George's grieving family. The somber procession moved slowly through the town, reflecting the heavy hearts of those who followed. George's final resting place was marked with flowers and whispers of farewell from friends and loved ones, each grappling with the suddenness of his departure. In the weeks that followed, the community's sympathy extended to both families affected by the tragedy. Frank, overwhelmed by grief and regret, retreated from his usual activities, his presence markedly absent from the social gatherings he once frequented. The incident served as a somber reminder of the fragility of life and the unforeseen consequences that can arise from even the most routine actions. As life gradually resumed its pace, the shadow of that tragic evening remained, leaving an indelible mark on the hearts of those who knew George. The memory of George and the fateful evening lingered, serving as a lesson and a call to cherish and safeguard the lives of loved ones. In the cool embrace of an autumn evening, John McGuire embarked on a journey destined to mark the end of his short yet meaningful life. From the fertile lands near Fayetteville, Arkansas, where he had spent his youth under the watchful eyes of the Ozark Mountains, John set out toward St. Louis, driven by a sense of duty and the promise of prosperity. He traveled not alone, but accompanied by a spirited lot of stock, their restless movements echoing the turbulent thoughts swirling in his own mind. John was a young man of strong constitution, molded by the hard-working ethos inherited from his father, the late H.M. McGuire. His father, a respected figure in Washington County, had instilled in him the values of sobriety and industry. These qualities were well known in their community, earning John a reputation as a dependable and upright individual, much like his father before him. The journey was routine, a path well trodden by countless others seeking the bustling markets of the city. The Frisco Road, with its relentless stretch of iron and wood, stood as a testament to human endeavor. Yet beneath the surface of this mundane trip lay the unpredictability of fate. As night draped over the countryside, the train clattered rhythmically, lulling its passengers into a false sense of security. Amidst the monotonous rattle and hum, John moved with cautious steps from one car to another. The task was familiar, yet perilous, requiring careful navigation of the narrow gaps that separated the massive, shuddering beasts. It was during one such transition that tragedy struck, a misstep, a slip, and in an instant, John found himself caught between the merciless wheels of progress. The aftermath was grim. The once vibrant young man who had walked with confidence and purpose was now silent. His body bore the brutal testimony to the tragedy that had unfolded in the fleeting moments between life and death. The news of the accident spread swiftly, a somber wave washing over the communities connected by the very tracks that had been the scene of John's demise. Back in Fayetteville, the impact of John's untimely departure was palpable. The loss of such a promising life was felt deeply by all who knew him. His virtues, his potential, and his loyalty to his roots were the echoes that lingered in the minds of friends and family as they gathered to bid him farewell. As the train bearing John's remains chugged its way back to Fayetteville, those who awaited its arrival prepared to receive him in solemn tribute. The funeral was a convergence of shared grief and communal support, a final service for a son of Washington County who had left the world much too soon. The interment was not just a burial of his body, but a planting of his legacy, which would live on in the memories of those he left behind. In the quiet whispers of the Ozark winds, in the rustling leaves, and in the flowing streams, the spirit of John McGuire lingered, a sober reminder of life's fragility and the unyielding strength of a community united in remembrance. His journey had ended, but his story, a narrative of diligence, integrity, and the harsh unpredictability of fate, would endure, retold by those who had known the depth of his character and the sincerity of his ambitions. In cemeteries around the country, gravestones are silently weathering away, eventually to be lost and forgotten. We encourage you to reach out to your state or local gravestone project and contribute to their efforts to catalog and replace these gravestones, so that families can continue to locate and honor their friends and family who have passed. If you would like to support our podcast, you can head to our website at thefinaltale.com or find us on Patreon as The Final Tale.